Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we got comedian Honest John. So if you want to holla at us or you want to holla at him, give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, comedian Honest John. And if you want to holla at him, you want to holla at me, you want to talk about something that's on your mind, give me a call, 646-929-2037. And, of course, if you are afraid you don't want to call, you want to email, you can always email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I will read your emails. Y'all know this. Long-time listeners know that. So if you got an email, something on your mind you want to talk about and you're too shy to call, you can always email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Or if you're one of the people who watch Smooth Drama TV, or if you're in our Blog Talk chat room, you can post your questions there, questions or comments, and you know me, I, of course, will read them. Now, also, because I want to stalk you, and we got some events coming up, and hopefully my man Black Steel will be on here to join me, and we'll talk about a few things we got happening this weekend. You can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, to keep up with us here at Smooth Drama, see what we got happening, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. And we'll get you back in. Of course, we get our stalk on together. Now, first, I want to talk about a shout out to Butter. You know, give Butter a shout out. My co-host who just had a kidney transplant last week, you know, get better, heal, and we look forward to hollering at you real soon, recovered. Now, after that, I want to talk about the good time that I had this weekend. Was fortunate enough to hang out with a lot of cool people at the Alternative Press Expo out here in San Francisco. It was a great time, great experience. Man, got to meet a whole lot of people. First, I want to thank Mr. Brady Canfield of Brady Comics of Wombat Rue, who actually allowed me to sit at his table and hang out with him. And he also was gracious enough to spend some time with some kids at an elementary school and, you know, gave them an art lesson, made their day, weekend, whatever. Also, want to give a shout out to my man Jamil Hemphill of National Press Comics, cool brother that I had the opportunity to meet and hang out with. He's a cool dude and someone we definitely got to have on the show. Want to holla at AJ Moore, Good Fit Entertainment, Corey Bass, Khalid Birdsong of FriedChickenAndSushi.com. Yeah, I said it. Fried chicken and sushi. Get some. I want to give a shout out to my man Murphy Milburn and Asif. You know, if you're listening, Asa, you do not look like a terrorist. You kind of resemble one, but you don't look like one. No, I was just playing. But all in all, it was a good time. For those of you who don't know what the Alternative Press Expo is, it's like a scaled-down comic Con comic book convention, where independent authors and creators go there to show their wares and artwork and whatnot. It's actually good. It's the home of innovation, and I can say in between meeting up with them at the Mixer on Friday and hanging out with them Saturday and Sunday, you know, you can't find a cooler group of cats. And also, while I'm there, I want to give a shout out to the coolest security guard. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, but if you're listening, homie, you are the coolest security guard ever. And if you're not a security guard, just security doorman, whatever it is, you know I ain't got nothing but mad love for you. Thank you for the cool advice and for the opportunity to speak with you. Now I gave my shout out. Oh, also last shout out to the homie in the San Diego Charger jersey who is in between AJ and Murphy. I didn't get your name, bro, but you're a cool dude, and hopefully we'll get to holler one day, as I know you out here in this area. Now, speaking of being out there, Kanye West's new album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the cover's been banned here in the United States. I guess he had a, according to him, it was a phoenix, but the picture, for those of you who haven't seen it, is an armless, naked woman with a tail and wings, and she was on top of basically a black man, a naked black man. I guess that was, maybe it was supposed to be Mr. West himself. And I guess they banned it because they said that it was pornographic, whatnot, or whatever. I mean, I guess it don't really matter. I mean, I think art is art, and, you know, if you want to ban art, like, I mean, we're used to that, but I think it's kind of sad that you banned it. I think you probably should have just banned his album, period. I mean, I don't know. I haven't bought a Kanye West album since the first one, when he was real, I thought, you know, and speaking of real, I saw that he has taken out his bottom teeth, and he has, like, real diamonds in his teeth. It's a shame, actually. I mean, I'm not hating on him, you know, for having the diamond. And it's not a grill, according to him. It's his real teeth. They're like real diamonds, which I thought was kind of trifling. You know, maybe it's me. Some people may think, oh, he's stunting, he's shining. But, I mean, if your teeth aren't rotten, why are you taking your teeth out to put diamonds in? And he was on Ellen DeGeneres show. I don't know what the name of it is. Don't really care. And he said, it's kind of what rock stars do. It's what's expected of rock stars, or something to that fucking effect. Hip hop. You gotta love rappers, right? Anyway, I thought it was sad that he would do something like that, you know, waste the money. And the whole thing, you give kids, I know it shouldn't be that whole role model, and kids shouldn't pay attention to that, but we all know they do. And the fact that they're looking at him and that damn diamond grill, and I guess that's supposed to make him a great rapper now or whatnot. I don't know. Don't care. I ain't buying an album ever again. And I'm going to go with some real hip-hop. And in the spirit of the Alternative Press Expo, my comic book homies, whatnot, I got a song from A-Prime, the homie from Milwaukee, from the hip-hop group House of M. This is the oath.
I'm just a laid back kind of guy, fresh spade kind of fly. People know the name, cause the name isn't my design. Say whatever's on my mind and ain't gonna apologize. People be amazed every time the prompt say a rhyme. They say that I don't look or act like a rapper. That's judging the cover when you should at least read a chapter. A lot of people mistake my confidence for arrogance. But how you gonna judge me when you don't know Darius? Hell yeah, my self-esteem through the roof. My words are the truth, I'm empowering the youth. I tell them that it's okay to stray from the group. When you innovate, people imitate what you do. Now some people will hate, they don't know what's cool. They don't even know themselves cause they're a little confused. But that's life, that's the way that it goes. So if you feel like I feel, you should take the oath.
It's me, hate it or love it or you can fuck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Have a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be? It's me, hate it or love it or you can fuck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Have a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be?
Some girls think that I'm ugly, some think that I'm cute, some think that I'm fine. But now I don't really pay it no mind, cause my physical appearance ain't what make me divine. It's my great personality and power of mind. So when people start talking and I can stop listening and never get caught up in other people's opinions. Cause if you do that, you lose identity. And once you do that, you liable to do anything. It's on TV all the time, man, you see it. Too many young ladies, they wind up bulimic. Too many young ladies read the magazine and strive for a look of beauty that they can't achieve. It's become somewhat of an epidemic here, developing negative body images. Man, I hate that that's the way that it goes. So put your hands in the sky, people take the oath.
It's me, hate it or love it or you can fuck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Got a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be? It's me, hate it or love it or you can fuck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Got a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be?
Yo, I learned to live in this world that's conservative. Where anything that's different is labeled as alternative. People fear what they don't understand. Now I'm the voice of a band of geeks and outcasts. I'm not thugging, not killing, not dealing. In fact, my image is clean as Big Mama chillin'. But it's all good, cause I'm seen by the chillin'. And there ain't enough positive from seeds that be spitting. So why the seeds so afraid to dream? And why I got a front, why I can't be me? We need more Gandhis, more Dr. King. We got enough whack of seeds rockin'. Bling. We need more Oprahs, more philanthropists handling biz instead of generations after them. Yo, that should be the way that it goes. So put your hand to the sky, people take the oath.
It's me, hate it or love it or you can suck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Got a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be? It's me, hate it or love it or you can suck it. It doesn't really matter, your opinion means nothing. Got a strong sense of self, I love being free. Who made you the authority on who I should be?
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Tuck. That was A Prime of the House of M, The Oath. Hip hop at its finest. Y'all should check that out. And while we're in the middle of that, we're going to get Mr. Honest John on the phone here. We're going to talk tape about this and that from sneakers to hats.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening?
I'm all right.
All right.
Sir?
I've been looking forward to this.
I've been looking forward to it, too.
Matter of fact, and what I did to get ready, I took a pee, I took two hits on a joint, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, I want to, first I'm going to get my man Black Steel on the line here, my co-host. Black Steel, what's happening? I got Honest John on the line with you also.
Hey, what's up, Dick Huggett? And hey, what's going on, Honest John?
Hey, everything's cool. I didn't quite get your name. What was your name again?
I'm Black Steel.
Black Steel.
Like Public Enemy, Black Steel in Hour of Chaos.
Black Steel, all right, okay.
Now,
okay.
I got to ask you, I know you said you took a couple of draws, a couple pulls before you came on the show. Now, I know you in California, you know about Proposition 19. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. Now, I don't know how much of your audience is in California, but I want to talk to them directly. Look, guys, don't screw this up. You got a chance to vote to make marijuana legal in California, right? But I know how potheads are. You know, come election day, you're going to be stoned. You're going to be sitting around watching Nickelodeon. You got to write a note, put it on the damn wall just above the TV set. Go out and vote. And while you're at it, you better vote for the straight Democratic ticket because the Republicans got some crazy-ass people running. Carly Fiorina. That is a cold-ass bitch.
Yes, I agree with you.
Let me tell you something. If she gets into office, abortion will be illegal, and it doesn't bother me. But women, you have some shit to protect. You better get your asses out there. This guy's running in this election. There are people running in this election who think that not only should abortion be illegal, but even in cases of rape or incest. That means that a single sperm cell from a rapist would have more rights than an entire woman. Isn't that some shit?
Oh, that's some serious shit there. That's serious shit.
I understand. See, I understand being anti-intellectual, because, like, people like Al Gore and John Kerry, right? They were kind of intellectual. They were kind of boring, kind of stuffy. But when you go from anti-intellectual to pro-stupid, that's crossing the line. And now they've gone even from pro-stupid to pro-crazy.
Right. Well, speaking of crazy, Sarah Palin has her own, show now.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I saw a little commercial on it. I guess she's going to have a show on TV.
And what's it going to be on, Fox?
TLC or some shit like that.
The Learning Channel?
Yeah.
No way. Sarah Palin on the Learning Channel. That's ridiculous. That would be like having Satan on the Jesus Christ Channel. The bitch ain't learned a thing in her whole life, right? She's got a Down syndrome kid smarter than she is.
Wow.
Right?
Y'all rough, right? Hey, but ever since she resigned her position as governor, hey, money ain't flowing. She needed a job. She needed to take something. So I guess, she's following stride with everybody else. I'll just go ahead and do the talk show thing for a while.
I'm having a little bit of weirdness with the connection here, but don't worry. Could you kind of repeat the high points of what you just said? I'm sorry, but I'm just having trouble hearing you a little bit. You're going to have to speak loud.
Okay. No, I was just saying that she decided, she ain't got no money coming in right now. So basically her whole platform is like, I might as well follow suit and just go ahead and do the talk show circuit.
Sarah Palin, let me tell you something. She has become a star, right? She has become a star. But there are people in this country that think that she could be president. Now, think about it. How's she going to handle Vladimir Putin when she can't even handle Katie Couric? She avoids the mainstream media because they might ask her a question she can't answer. That whole thing about what do you read and she's saying, oh, it was a personal attack or something like that. That is the softest of softball questions.
Right.
Right. And she couldn't answer it.
Probably because she can't read.
But yeah, well, not probably because she can't, but probably because she doesn't.
Right.
Right? See, there's a whole thing going on about, like, all of a sudden, we're making stupidity a virtue.
Right.
You know? We're making stupidity a virtue. So you've got that O'Donnell crazy-ass bitch in Delaware.
Yeah.
Who thinks that masturbation is the same thing as adultery. Right? Well, I'll tell you something. If I'm jerking off, my left hand is not going to break in the house and shoot me for cheating with my right hand. I mean, there is a big deal of difference between jerking off and having an adulterous affair.
Right.
You know?
I don't understand people who are against masturbation anyway. There's no real conversation point with them. There's no reason to even talk.
No, there's no reason to talk to them. All you can do is just, you know, tell them to go jerk off and try it for themselves.
Now, I got to ask you this. Now, you were a nurse. What made you go from nurse to comedian?
Let me tell you something. Let me be just serious for a second here. Nursing is an incredibly hard job. Right, and
right.
Those people who are doing it are my heroes. Okay, I mean they're the ones that make a hospital run. The doctors make all the money, but the nurses. Without the nurses, that shit ain't working. And let me tell you something. I admire anybody who can make a lifetime career out of it. And I liked it when I first got into it, but it burns you out. And I was burned out, and I needed something else to do. And I was watching TV, saw a comedian on TV that I didn't think was very funny. I said, this guy's not funny. He's on TV. I can do this. And the next day, I was at a place called the Natural Fudge Company, which is no longer in existence, but that was the place where almost every comedian got on stage first. You brought two friends, you got on stage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? Right? I went there and wasn't very funny. you know, nobody starts out being funny, you know?
Right.
Michael Jordan didn't swish his first attempt to shoot the basket. You know, you have to work at that shit.
Right.
But I knew that I could do it, and I attacked it like a fanatic, you know. I went crazy. I would be running all over town doing open mics, you know. And even though, like I said, you start off bad, I was better than the other people that were starting off, you know.
Right.
And you know, I got better faster because I did it so often. To anybody who's thinking about being a comic out there, get up on stage as much as you can, write as much as you can, and let the audience edit your shit. That's my advice.
Right. I'm with you there. Now, how did you come up with the name Honest John?
Because I think that the stuff that makes me laugh is the stuff that's true. It's the stuff that you either recognize yourself or a friend or a relative in, you know. Now, listen, I can watch somebody like Carrot Top, okay, and enjoy the show, you know. There's room for that in comedy, right?
Right.
Carrot Top is kind of like the cotton candy of comedy, right? It tastes good for a minute. It tastes good for a minute, you know. But it doesn't really do anything for you, you know?
Right. It does nothing for me.
It doesn't even fill you up.
No.
Right? right? So for me, the comics that I prefer are the ones who have something to say mixed in with their comedy, you know? Something true about people, something true about life, you know? And it might not be true for everybody, but it's my truth, you know what I'm saying? Right? So that's where I come from in comedy.
Okay. Now,
and, you know, that's why I admire comics like, you know, Pryor, all right, Bill Hicks. I like Carlin, but I felt that as he went on, he tended to repeat himself a little bit. He was interested in certain things, and he was really focused on those things. So sometimes his last show would be a lot like the one before that.
Right.
But he was at the top of his game. He was absolutely brilliant and broke down a lot of barriers that the rest of us now just take for granted.
Right.
You know, Lenny Bruce. Now, there's the guy that made it possible for us to be us because he fought all the legal battles.
Mm. Okay. You know? So now I know you were talking about how you were on the stage all the time perfecting your craft. You like starting off, and of course you're a white guy in the black comedy circuit, and I'm sure you had some slight problems getting over the perception that because you're a white guy you might not be funny.
Well, see, here's what happened. I didn't just automatically start off in the black comedy circuit. I have been going for close to 3 years before what happened was I started getting up a little more frequently than just open mics. You know, people kind of noticed me, and they noticed that I was pretty good, and they would give me a couple of minutes on their little shows, right? You know, and you know, and so like I had been at it for a while, and I had a much better idea of what I was doing, and all the time, I've always, you know, talked about what's going on in the day, and at that time, if you think back to 1987, and that. You know, both sides of that particular year, what was going on a lot was issues about race.
Right.
So even though I was doing the white clubs, I was talking about those issues. Right. So what happened was black comics started coming up to me and saying, hey, come on down, you know, to this place and that place, you know. We think you'll do well there. So I went down there and I did do good. Not every time. One of the things that happened, though, was the first time I did real well. So that got me off to a good start.
Right.
But then, as a young comic, you know, only 3 years in the game, you know, it takes a while to find your stride. And so, you know, I would do real good one night and then do awful the next night. And, you know, you have to be able to just, in order to survive in the game, you have to be able to take one of those nights and just, like, let it just slide.
Right. Yeah, brush it off and keep going. Now,
you know, on to the next show. The only difference between having a good night and a bad night, because it's important to just be learning, but the big difference between having a good night and having a bad night is that on a bad night, you don't hang around and take your victory lap around the club, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of like get off stage, you head towards the back, you say goodnight to a few people, and you head out the door, you know? Because you ain't going to just gonna hang out all night having people going, well, nice try. You know? Don't let it get to you.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Oh, when people are really trying to be polite. Well, that was interesting.
Now, I wanted to ask you, now, you talked about the race relations in 87. Now, looking at 2010, and we have the black president and whatnot, I want to ask you, what do you think the difference is now in...
Well, think about it.
In an 87.
Think about it. I mean, you know, when you watched the Rodney King tape, right, could you have possibly imagined that, you know, you would live to see a black president?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, we have come a long way as a country. Now, there's still a ways to go, you know. The thing that is really irritating about some white folks is they like to think that racism is all over with just because we've got a black president. We made a great stride in racism, but there is still large sections of this country and fairly large amounts of people who hold the same attitudes that were held when Martin Luther King was marching.
Well,
you know, and they're teaching their children that
right.
stuff.
Yeah,
you know, these people were taught that by their parents, and they're passing it on to their kids. So there's always going to be maybe not forever, but for a long time, there is going to be a problem with racism in this country.
Yes, well,
you see it with the Tea Party,
right? Now, I was going to say something going back to your Rodney King statement, because it was funny. I had read something the other day about there are cops who are fighting against being videotaped because they're saying that they're being videotaped illegally, that they're charging the folks who are videotaping them committing crimes against the normal citizens. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, there are certain states that have certain laws that kind of make it easy for the cops to make that claim that they're being videotaped illegally.
Right. This state in particular was, one of our bloggers was talking about, they were from Maryland. This happened in Maryland where a motorcyclist was charged with felony violation for wiretapping the state trooper who pulled a gun out on him.
Yeah. The thing is that there are going to be cops who will try to resist that because those cops, if you do that, then basically you're labeling yourself a bad apple. You know, most cops are pretty cool. There's a lot of tapes that have exonerated the cops, you know.
Right.
They've been charged with shit, and then they run the tape and find out that's not true. A lot of cops now, you know, they have those cameras mounted in their cars, right? The thing is that, you know, some of these guys, they just, I mean, they got into being a cop so they could push people around. And when they get in a situation like that with all their adrenaline running and shit like that, then all that shit comes out of them. And, you know, even if you can get that shit excluded from a court, even if you can charge somebody with something, right, that's going to wind up on the net.
Yeah.
You know, and that cop is going to be exposed. So, cops, if you're out there listening, I know most of you are good. I work with you all the time. I've done fundraisers for the for different police organizations, you know. I did one from the sheriff's department a few years ago. And most of you are good dudes, but you bad guys out there, listen to this shit. You're going to be recorded. You should act all the time like you're being recorded, because we're all just a cell phone away from being on the internet.
That's right.
You know?
Everybody's got a damn cell phone with a video camera now.
In London, they have all these cameras mounted on all the buildings and stuff like that. I read somewhere that if you're in the city of London, and you walk like a mile, there might be 5 feet that you're not being recorded.
Wow.
You know, because they got cameras on the buildings. They've got cameras that are on the intersections. They've got these red light cameras like we have here, you know.
I hate those.
I hate them, too. I have not had that problem yet. I have not been busted by one.
But one
of the things that I'm doing, because I know about these cameras, is that I'm doing less of that CB orange light and trying to see if I can make it, you know. I remember that scene from Starman, and the guy says, "Yes, I watched you very carefully. Red means stop, green means go, yellow means go very fast."
I'm not even gonna go through it no more. I had the misfortune of getting one of those $341 tickets, and I've heard that it's even more now. So if I see it in my remote, I'm already going really slow when I approach one of those. So if it turns yellow, I'm stopping. I don't even care. It don't matter.
Especially, you know, if you're high, you don't want to give them an excuse. You know, you better drive good when you, if you've been smoking or drinking, believe me.
So what you got? You got anything coming up? Any tours?
Matter of fact, I'm going to Iraq. In November.
On purpose?
On purpose, yes. Yeah. I've done a bunch of military bases here in the States. I've been to Asia like 8 times. I've been to England a few times and Germany a couple of times. I have not yet been to the Middle East, but that's where I'm going. And let me tell you something. As a comic, you will never get a better audience than what you get at a military base. You know, and it don't matter if they disagree with you politically. Although I kind of tend to go easy on the politics when I'm on military bases, but you know, they don't care. You know, the fact that you came out there to entertain them is all they need. I had a guy come up to me one time after a show, and he said, "I don't really like comedy, but I just appreciated you guys coming, you know, so far." You know, this was in like, I was in like Okinawa, you know. "I just appreciate you guys coming so far, you know, to entertain us." And I did laugh a few times, you know. It was like, yeah, he made me laugh 5 times during the show, and that's the biggest day of his life he's going to have as far as laughter goes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, the fact that he said he doesn't like comedy, I'm like, wow, what do you like?
Well, you know, I think that I think that some people are not amused by stand-up comics. Where they might be amused by comics in the paper, or they might like sitcoms or something like that. See, us stand-up comics like to think that everybody loves us. No, that's not necessarily true. Some people don't really like stand-up comedy that much.
Yeah.
They like other forms of comedy.
Right.
You know? I think stand-up comedy is one of the great ways of doing comedy, but hey, it's my gig, you know what I'm saying? Right.
No,
I'm bound to be a little biased towards it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, I think anything that's live, got the spontaneity, and it's right there on the spot, I don't think you can beat that.
And don't forget, sometimes if you go out to a comedy club, On the less expensive nights, the weekdays, right?
Right?
Sometimes sometimes you're going to have to sit through a few comics that, let's say, less experienced before they get there, you know, because that's when they do a lot of stuff with the newbies, you know what I'm saying? Like the weekend is for your is your stars and your headliners and stuff like that. But on you know, Monday through Thursday, you'll have headliners, you'll have very, very good comics, but you might have to sit through a few clunkers, you know, while you're waiting for that, and that can turn some people off.
Right.
Yeah. But those new comics, they have to have a place to work. You can't just say, well, we're not gonna work with new comics. You gotta always be developing new talent.
Right.
Much as I hate to admit it, I don't want any more competition than what there already is. But, you know, that's just the way it is. There's always going to be more people coming up the pipeline. You know?
Right. I mean, but that's the thing, though. I mean, if not for that, there would be no Honest John.
That's right.
So, you know, because somebody could have caught you on that night when you weren't quite as special. And then
I'm sure there were a lot of people as I was coming up, whose impression of me was that I wasn't very funny, you know. But, you know, now if they see me, they know I'm funny.
I think you're funny, too. Now, I wanted to ask you, now, and I guess this is not just for me, but for anybody who wanted to listen to you online, you know, because I is an online audience. If anybody wanted to catch up to you online, where would they catch you?
Well, there is a video of me on MySpace/comedianHonestJohn. There's actually a video there. And I know there's some stuff on YouTube, and there's some little short clips of me out there. If you get Stars Network, you can go to Stars On Demand and see me on Martin Lawrence, because that's been airing.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think they might have that on Stars.com. I'm also on the Laugh Factory website.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of different places where you can see me for little clips of me anyway online, you know, I do have a Facebook page. I don't have any videos loaded up there yet, but I do have a Facebook page, and I also have a Facebook fan page, which doesn't have hardly any fans yet.
We're gonna have to change that.
I just started with Facebook. I went on MySpace first, and I did that, you know. And then all of a sudden MySpace was out, and now Facebook is in. Even though I think MySpace was set up better than Facebook is.
Yeah.
But for some reason or another, it's all Facebook now, so I started a Facebook page. But I'm 60 years old, you know. If I were 11 years old, I'd be a lot more comfortable with all this online bullshit and with the computer and all that shit. Online, I'm kind of the village idiot, you know. So I don't do as much with my online stuff as I should. I'm trying to get better as far as that's concerned, but you know, I didn't grow up with this stuff. When I was a teenager, right, a computer, a working computer, was about the size of three refrigerators.
Right.
You know, and it had to be kept in a room that maintained a certain temperature. And they had punch cards and big reels of tape and stuff like that. And now people are carrying, like, computers around in their back pocket, right? I mean, that has been just the most amazing thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, technology at its finest. You know,
yeah.
I do have one beef with the technology. The people who want to watch their movies on their little 3-inch screen instead of on a regular, I don't get that. You go blind early?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some movies need to be big, you know. If you went to see the 300,
yeah,
you know, seeing that on a little screen, it's like watching a cartoon. See that on the big screen where it's big and the blood comes flying at you, and you know, and you know, I mean, because that's a larger than life story. You need to see it on the big screen. Yeah, but you know, people are nowadays. People are going out less to movies and stuff like that, and more stuff is coming in online. But there'll always still be that need for a good crowd pleasing entertainment. There's something about being with an audience, you know, part of an audience that makes a film special.
Right.
As opposed to sitting at home and just watching it there, you know. There's something about being part of an audience. As a comic, you know, the energy that goes between me and the audience is just an amazing thing, you know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about. And, you know, some people would go off of your bias saying, well, he's biased because he's a comic and he's dealing with audiences and whatnot. But I agree with you. I mean, there's something. You got an audience of people, and when y'all all are together of the same mind and everybody's laughing, having a good time, there's no greater feeling.
Now, I've seen Bruce Springsteen on TV many times, right? But when I was about 28, I went live to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and it's fucking amazing, you know. It was amazing. I went and saw Sly and the Family Stone live back in the day, an incredible show, and the energy. It's that energy that goes back and forth between performer and audience that is mystical.
But I'm gonna get that at a Sly and Family Stone concert that everybody was high.
What's that?
I'm thinking that at the Sly and Family Stone concert, everybody was high.
Well, as a matter of fact, well, I'm sure there were people that were high, but I went to see them at a teen nightclub.
Oh.
And it was before they had broken. The admission was 50 cents, right?
Wow.
So people didn't really know who they were. They were just starting to get famous. Dance to the Music had just started hitting the top 100. And so they were virtually, like, unknown. And 2 weeks later, they had, like, you know, this huge hit, you know? And I saw them just before they broke. And I was like, these guys are amazing. You know, it truly was an amazing show.
I'm like, you said 50 Cent. We can't do shit for 50 Cent.
Well, 50 Cent really was 50 Cent back in the day.
Yeah.
A pack of cigarettes, my first pack of cigarettes cost me 28 cents.
Mm. Yeah. Those days are never coming back.
Those days are never coming back. I remember when gas was 17.9 cents a gallon.
Mm.
Right, we used to, when I was in high school, you know, we would scrape together, like, you know, we'd all get together and chip in and put like maybe a buck and a half worth of gas in the car and drive around all night.
You might make it to the block. Stop sign.
Oh. Nowadays, you know, $20 won't even get you very far.
No,
you know?
It's not.
You know?
I can actually remember when $10 could fill up the tank. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
Yeah, the good old money days. Depressing.
You know, now you put $10 in, it's still on E.
Yeah. It might move a little bit.
It doesn't even turn off the little symbol that tells you you need gas.
Yeah.
You just put $10 worth of gas in, and that light is still on. I'll tell you something. I mean, there's that, but there's all so many cool things about living in this time. Really.
Oh, I was talking the other day. This is the golden age right here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It ain't even close.
I just hope we don't like totally screw it up for the next generation. But if we do, their problem. I ain't gonna be around. Right. Because if all the disastrous things that they're predicting are actually going to happen, things are going to be pretty messed up for people for a while, If global warming is really going to come up and get us, then all those people with those nice houses by the beach are going to have to move inland.
Right.
If we keep on throwing the tons of pollution that we do in the air, and eventually, maybe we'll just mutate so that we can do that stuff. We'll grow we'll look like those guys in the cheap science fiction movies that have like filters in their noses and shit like that.
I want to be long gone before any of that happens.
Yeah, because, I mean, them bitches don't never look very good.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. When they talk about global warming and the ecological disaster, well, supposedly we only have, 2 years? Well, a year and a half left anyway. It's all done in 2012, so...
Oh shit! That's some bullshit right there. 2012, right? They say what the whole thing about that is that the Mayan calendar,
right,
runs out in 2012. Well, you know what? I got a calendar sitting in front of me that expires on December 31st of this year, right? And you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go out and buy another calendar. Right, I ain't gonna say, oh, the calendar's run out. I guess it must be the end of the world.
Well, you was here for the year 2000 Y2K when all those folks was buying all the water and canned goods.
Now there was a legitimate danger. They really didn't know what was going to happen because all the computers, right? All the computers were kind of like they only had the programs inside to go up until 1999.
Oh, so they told us.
They didn't know what would happen when the shit flipped over, and they were worried about that. It turned out that not much happened.
Right. Nothing happened.
But they thought that the computers would think that it was now the year zero and they weren't invented yet. So
I just remember going out and you seen all these people with their trucks full of water and canned goods and all this other stuff. I'm like, is somebody dropping a bomb and nobody told us?
Well, see, what it is that, there's so much stuff that is done by computer nowadays that depends on computer nowadays. Your water system is computerized. If the computers in the water system, fuck up, I don't know what will happen, but it won't be the same as, you might not be able to get any water out of your tap,
I'm thinking it would be like Europe. It would be a whole bunch of stinky-ass people.
Oh, you've been there. Okay. Another thing is that if the computers that were controlling our air traffic control system had actually shut down when it became 2000, That would have been pretty fucked up. There's a lot of fights in the air on New Year's.
Right.
You know? But none of that shit happened. It was just like, okay. You know, the computers kept working. Everything kept working. And people woke up the next day, and the only worst thing that had happened was they were all hungover. You know, that was it.
That was
so,
good thing for me. I was happy. No riots in the streets. Yeah.
But I'll be damned if I believe that just because a calendar runs out, that means it's the end of the world. You know, what makes us think that people who lived a couple of hundred years ago or 1,000 years ago or whatever knew more than we did? They didn't know shit.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden they're full of wisdom about what's going to happen to us. No, they didn't know shit. They were just out of the cave. We're still just out of the cave.
Well, it's funny you mention that because there was actually an incident speaking on that where to adjust the calendar, they took 13 days off the calendar and there was riots. I believe it was in Britain. There were riots because people said you took 13 days off our lives.
Yeah, well, hey, there's nothing so stupid that you can't get people to believe in it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
you know?
True.
That's what the religions of the world count on. You know? I'm not going to say that there ain't no God. I don't know whether there's a God or not. Okay? What I am going to say is this, is that it takes a lot of balls to decide that somehow you know more about what God thinks than anybody else does.
Mm.
You know? So, like, I look at these ministers on TV, they're a bunch of frauds, you know? And I look at the Catholic Church, and that's just a giant corporation, you know? And check this out. They have been molesting children for hundreds of years, right, and covering it up. And it finally all came out, you know, actually started coming out in the 80s, and now, and the scandal keeps coming back, right? It's this huge corporation that has been covering up pedophilia for hundreds of years. Now, if we heard Voters was doing that, we put them son of a bitches out of business.
Right.
But because it's a religion, they get to keep on going. You know?
And going like the Energizer Bunny.
You know? I mean, that's incredibly ridiculous.
All right. Honest John, I have to say we're running out of time here. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I hope someday to get you to come back. It's been my pleasure to have you on.
Oh, I'd love to come back. I never get tired of just sitting around talking with friends and you know, talking shit. It's cool.
All right.
And one thing I did want to add, though, the thing about religion, I know about that personally because I studied for a year to be a priest.
Wow.
But since I'm not particularly attracted to small children, I quit. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to that and try to speak with you again and see if we can get you come back on the show, man.
Oh, I'd love to do it. Yeah. Have a good one. Keep doing your thing, man. It's a good thing.
Thank you, sir.
I'll catch you later.
All right. Peace.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for coming. Whew. All right. That was Honest John. Like, still, you still there?
Hey, I'm still here. You know, I really didn't say much because of, you know, the connection. It may be something, but I was just, you know, I was cool. But hey, Honest John, yo, he was just keeping it honest, straight up. And
yeah,
he had a lot to say.
All right. And I want to say thank you, Honest John. I want to thank you, Black Steel, for coming on. Share listeners for listening. And
thanks for having
drama.
Me.
I'm Dick Hugger. And we out.
Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.